You're with Morning Ireland. It's 10 minutes past seven. They set out on the trip of a lifetime, a 2.5 hour deep dive to the wreck of the Titanic. But since Sunday, there's been no contact and hope is now fading for the five men aboard the submersible, the Titan. The search is concentrated in an area of the North Atlantic where noises were detected by sonar devices. Captain Jamie Frederick from the US Coast Guard gave an update on the search last night.
The surface search is now approximately two times the size of Connecticut, and the subsurface search is up to 2.5 miles deep, exponentially expanding the size of the search area. We also have to factor in the ever-changing weather conditions, currents, and sea states that expand the search area every hour. There is an enormous complexity associated with this case due to the location being so offshore, so far offshore, and the coordination between multiple agencies and nations. We greatly appreciate the outpouring of support and offers to provide additional equipment. The Unified Command continues to prioritize assets and resources in order to provide the best capability in the most timely manner.
That was Captain Jamie Frederick from the US Coast Guard. Heather Mongilio from the US Naval Institute News joins us now with the latest on those rescue attempts. And Heather, good morning and thank you for joining us.
Good morning. Glad to be here.
And we heard Captain Frederick there talk about the complexity of this endeavour to reach the Titan. What is likely to be happening now in this rescue mission?
So right now it's about 2 a.m. over in Boston. Now, depending on where the ships are, that might be about 1 a.m. or 3 a.m. based on time codes. But right now there's not a lot of updates just because it is so late in the night, or I guess early in the morning. The latest that I've seen is that marine traffic, which tracks ship movement, saw that the French ship did arrive to St. John's and they are now in the search area. And the Coast Guard said earlier today that they were excited for the ship to come because of its advanced ROV, or remotely operated vehicle capabilities. So that ship was coming to assist with rescue efforts.
If, for example, the submersible is entangled in some way in the wreck of the Titanic, could this advanced remote vehicle be capable of both reaching it and assisting in some way in freeing it?
I am not positive if it could free it. I believe that they think that the capabilities are that it can help find it. The problem with the submersible is that now we are getting close to running out of our air. Now, that is an estimate that the Coast Guard gave. I think it was about 40 hours at 1 p.m. on Tuesday now. So I think we're now down to about 4 hours, give or take. And that is an estimate. They may have already run out of air. They could have found a way to extend that air. It depends on things like how fast they were breathing and a number of different factors. And that is, of course, if the submersible is still in one piece and is intact.
Of course. And there's been different views on this question of banging being heard on sonar. Some saying that the type of banging at 30-minute intervals would be standard naval practice in an emergency. Is that the case?
So I think the one thing about the noise, and this is what the Coast Guard said, is that it's hard to tell what this noise is. Right now, the Coast Guard has used that to help with assisting in the search area. But there's a lot of things that make noise in the ocean. They had an expert from Woods Hole Oceanic Institute up in Massachusetts, around Cape Cod, Massachusetts. And they said that they're sending this noise to naval experts to try to determine what that noise is. And I think that makes it, they have to determine whether this was an animal. I think they're able to determine that it wasn't. But then they're moving on to, was this a man-made up noise? Is this from a man-made noise that they can identify the actual source of it? So as of 1 p.m. earlier today, when they had their last press conference, they hadn't identified the noise. So it could be, potentially the submersible. But the problem with the ocean is there's a lot out there and there's a lot of noise out there. I mean, looking at marine traffic just to see where the different ships are, there's tons of ships out there in the ocean. So it's very hard to tell if that noise could come from the submersible or if it came from something else.
The submersible itself has been described as a metal tube, as a minivan type size, a tight fit for five adult males, isn't it? But what are the potential issues it could have encountered? We already mentioned perhaps being entangled in the wreckage of the Titanic. What else could have happened?
So I think one of the things is that, so there's three scenarios that have been described to me. And one is that it's now on the surface. And that was, you know, it would have been that they were able to release their weight and shoot back up to the surface. And then it was described to me as finding a minivan in the Atlantic. Not a very easy task. Mm. The other one is that it's stuck on the bottom, and that could be because it's entangled in something or something happened and it no longer can move. So it's on the bottom of the ocean, which is at a very deep depth. And that's a depth that makes it very challenging to go down and get. We have salvage equipment that the Navy has that has been used to salvage things like planes that have gone off of ships. So it is possible to reach those depths, but it's very difficult in terms of doing it for a rescue. And then there's the chance that it was a catastrophic failure. Something happened. Maybe, you know, that could have been the pressure, or there could have been a leak. There could have been something that just went terribly wrong. And in that case, we're probably not looking at a rescue effort at this point. It would be a recovery effort, but it's hard to tell. And, you know, these are three possible scenarios. It could be that they're still alive. It could be that they died a long time ago, or it could be that they died at some point during these during the time period of the rescue efforts.
How long do you think, Heather, that this intense rescue attempt and location attempt will continue?
So I think my boss put it best earlier when he was talking with another TV channel, and he mentioned that there's a culture in the maritime environment of going out there and helping people. So I think that you could see this happening for some days even after the time period runs out. And now, of course, the Coast Guard has still classified this as a rescue mission. Mm-hmm. They have not said that it's a recovery, but I can see that there would be some time set up for the rescue for recovery if it does turn into a recovery situation instead of a rescue situation. But I do also think that we have to acknowledge that there is a possibility that this is a very small object in a very big ocean, so they might not be able to find it. But I do think that the fact that the Navy has brought over a salvage system, there's people still coming. I think there is still a good effort going on, whether it turns into a recovery effort.
And do you know if they have optimum weather conditions at the moment?
I am not positive on the conditions. I know that there was some rain down where I am in Washington, so I can't imagine that's making it much of a of the best situation up there. But I don't personally know what the weather's current is right now.
And I suppose already, and certainly in the days and weeks to come, there will be many, many questions being asked about the company OceanGate, which operates the Titan, and about the Titan itself. And I understand lawsuits have already been filed.
So there was a lawsuit in 2018 from a former employee, a man named David Lockridge, and he was fired during his time at the company, but during his lawsuit in the company who had sued him first, there were some things that were talked about. Lockridge was concerned about the safety features. He wanted a scan of the hull, and the engineer, the company was going with their engineer, which believed acoustic measurement would be better to detect safety flaws. So there was definitely some concerns there. One thing that I noted when I was reading through the lawsuit is that they mentioned the hull was made of titanium, and they had said at one point that there is this part of the hull where the viewport was going to be, that if it had received a single scratch, that it would render this $300,000 piece unusable. Now, this was 2018, so there has been time. But I do know that with this lawsuit, there was also, the New York Times reported that there was a letter that the company received that had 38 experts also say there were some concerns about safety features. So I do think that there was some concern, at least in 2018, leading up to the Titan's voyage.
Okay. Well, Heather Mongilio, thank you very much indeed for joining us, and we will be coming back to the story during the course of the programme. And of course, the five men aboard include the CEO of OceanGate, that's the pilot Stockton Rush. It's 19 minutes past seven.
And let's go back now to the search for the Titan, which is now in a critical phase with the submersible's oxygen supply running out. Mike Critchley, former naval officer and editor of Warship World, is on the line. What's your latest assessment, Mike Critchley?
Well, it's not good, is it? I mean, the facts of this case are: on Sunday, a mini-submarine slipped beneath the waves over the Titanic, but that was Sunday. We're now Thursday morning. Huge amounts of effort are going into this, huge amounts of speculation too, but the facts are on Sunday morning. The whole effort is being put in really for the families of the men on board that mini-sub. They're wealthy people. I imagine they will throw every single pound, note, dollar or euro at this operation to recover their menfolk. But on a Thursday morning, I have to say I'm not particularly confident.
And we've heard reports of the knocking sounds, but again, there are awful echoes there, aren't there, of the Kursk and the knocking sounds that were heard there?
Yes. I mean, you've got to follow these leads. The ocean is not a quiet place. There's lots of noise under the ocean, and the skill is deciding whether your sound is from natural resources, whales, movement of the earth crust, all sorts of things. but really, the sensible search, in my estimation, is the one that's carried on looking at the surface of the sea. This mini sub has either gone down or gone up. If it had gone up, it makes it quite easy, and huge amounts of effort have gone in scouring the surface of the Atlantic. But as someone has said before, this is looking for a needle in a haystack.
Yes, and there's a number of vessels in the vicinity, including a French research vessel, which has got capacity to search underwater. Is that right?
That is true, I'm told. The thing is that even if you found this mini-sub on the bottom today, it's an enormous depth, 2.5 miles. Finding it is one thing. Getting it to the surface, something totally, totally different. If you were doing this in a sort of oil industry scenario, there'll be weeks, days of planning. You aren't going to just find it and whip it to the surface to be able to release these five men.
There's a TV clip that many people will have seen at this stage of Stockton Rush, who's on that vessel, saying but that by the time they would have done finished testing the Titan, he believed it would be pretty much invulnerable. And the interviewer responds, and that's pretty much what they said about the Titanic.
It is, isn't it? Interesting clip. But it's all speculation. Lots of experts have been on our radio and television for days now. And unfortunately, we have to face the facts that the thing that's not replaceable on this mini submarine is the oxygen. It was designed for, I think, 96 hours, and we've got to work around that figure. Modern military submarines are able to produce water from the sea. They're able to produce oxygen from the sea. They can't produce food, which is why they're limited on what they can do. But this mini submarine, it's nowhere near military standards. And it's very questionable whether it should have even been diving. But people take risks, and this, unfortunately, in this case, is what we're experiencing. Very interesting reading some of the news clips where members of the public are allowed to comment on what's going on. And this morning, just flicking through a few, it's all about prayer and it's all about miracles. Very interesting. I believe in both, but you do have to be practical on occasions like this.
Mike Critchley, former naval officer and editor of Warship World. Thank you for speaking to us about that this morning. It's 7 minutes to 9.